This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. Back in 2016, state prison officials acknowledged that solitary confinement does not work and does not lead to positive behavioral changes. That same year, the Department of Public Safety created a new suicide prevention program, and the new rules limit the amount of time a mentally ill inmate can spend in solitary confinement. That limit is 30 days. But are prison officials breaking their own rules? A case in point is Devon Davis. He is a developmentally disabled person. He is developmentally delayed. He's been locked in solitary confinement for months at a time. Joining us now is Taylor Knopf. She's a reporter for North Carolina Health News, and she's been following the story for the past few years and recently published an update. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us more about Devon and his history and how he came into contact with our penal system.
So Devon Davis is 26 years old, and he was born with cocaine in his system. And by age six, he was in a psychiatric hospital for hallucinations, both auditory and visual. His parents' parental rights were revoked. They were both in prison various times. He made his way through a lot of our systems, through the foster care system, the group home system. And then he eventually came in contact with the judicial system. He was in prison by the time he was 21. He spent 3 years in solitary confinement.
3 years in solitary confinement.
Mm-hmm.
And this would be for so how did he get there? It's behavioral problems once you're in prison, right? That's what happens? Or is this a punishment for infractions? How does he get there?
Right. So the prison system often uses solitary confinement as a disciplinary measure. So disobeying an order, spitting on someone, fighting, all of those can get you anywhere from 30 to 60 days in solitary confinement. Devon Davis was in there at about age 21. He got into some trouble the first couple days he was there. He went to segregation, which is what they call solitary confinement, and he stayed there until he left at the end of his sentence.
All right, so that, and as you say, that amounts to, it adds up to years in solitary confinement. Tell us why he gets there, because it's attempted auto theft and burglary. These are some of the charges against him, right?
Right. He was on probation, essentially, for some various things, and then he was accused of trespassing. It was more of a domestic situation that escalated, right. But it was violating probation.
So he's in jail 3 years in solitary confinement. He has a mental health disorder, a condition. Was he treated in the hospital, or in the prison?
So he did receive psychiatric care inside Central Prison, which is in Raleigh. And that amounts to just medication and various checkups by staff. And so, yes. And he did receive it the first time.
The first time, because then the next time he went in, it took months for him to get his medication, right?
Right. So at the end of his three-year sentence, he was out for a while. He went back into prison more recently, October of last year, and he went immediately back to solitary confinement, and he did not receive medication for over 100 days, despite asking for it twice, and his prior psychiatric records within the prison's own system.
So they have his records.
They right.
know. And,
they know
and in
him.
Fact, tell us why he goes right back to solitary, because that's a rule that the prison has. If you come back, you end up in the same place that you left, more or less.
I don't know that it's exactly written down, but that seems to be common procedure, that people are returned to the same status, housing status, that they were released if they were a returning inmate.
So it may not have been an infraction that got him to solitary. It was just the fact that he had been there the last time he came.
Right. He had no infractions.
In the meantime, and in between visits to the prison, the prison system itself, North Carolina Public Health Safety System, decided that solitary confinement is not the right place, particularly for people with mental issues, and they addressed it, right?
Correct. Advocates have been making this point for years, and the prison officials finally agreed. And so in 2016, they made this suicide prevention policy that you mentioned earlier that said this is not the right place for people with mental illness. People with mental illness, we want to refrain from putting them in solitary confinement at all, if necessary, 30 days within a calendar year. So that's very limited amount of time. And they received a lot of praise for that. Advocates said this is a great start. That is a common practice that's happening in other states. So this was great.
And mental health officials around the world have weighed in on this. And in fact, there are places now it's considered worldwide, solitary confinement is considered torture.
Right.
And mental health officials have said this is not what to do. But particularly if you consider a crime as antisocial behavior, denying people society is probably not very therapeutic.
That is what experts have said. And like you said, political leaders worldwide have condemned this practice as torture.
And the North Carolina prison system recognized it and was making strides to revise the policy. So how long does Devon spend in solitary this next time through with this new policy in place?
Right. So he enters, he's there for more than 150 days in solitary confinement, denied medication for over 100 of those.
So you've been reporting on this now off and on for since 2015, this latest episode, again, now in clear violation of the prison system's own policy. You talk to them. What are they saying about this?
Right. So I reached out to them when I discovered Devon was back in prison in January. And I really struggled to get an interview with them. I never got an in-person or phone interview. I just got an emailed statement, so I can't tell you exactly what they're doing. Beyond the written statement, they kind of just outlined their policies and said, we stick to these.
But you have talked to Devon, and and you've also talked with his family. And in fact, we have a clip of tape where you're talking to him about, again, his confinement for this three-year sentence. Because part of the story here is that when you put people in this condition, which mental health officials say is damaging to their mental health, the point is they're going to be released to the general population. And here's Devon talking about that.
Been in the cell so long, it's like everything is like a big space to me. So, you know, as far as me interacting with people, it affected me. That's how they say it affected me. So, you know.
There it is, Devon Davis from 2015. At that time, he had spent 1,001 days in solitary confinement. Taylor Knopf is a reporter with the North Carolina Health News who's been following the story. I mean, that's a big part of the story. The fact is that ultimately, these folks are going to be released to the general population.
Right. 95% of inmates are returned to society at the end of their sentence in North Carolina.
And give us, again, a better survey of what mental health officials are saying is the impact of something like solitary confinement on anybody, in particular those who have mental health issues.
So mental health experts generally agree that prolonged isolation will exacerbate the symptoms of a person's mental illness. So it will increase their depression, their anxiety, their paranoia, whatever symptoms they experience with their illness, those are going to be made worse. And one of the most leading experts have said that it's actually difficult to reverse the damage done once they're back in society. So, you know, experts generally agree on this topic.
You talked to Devon's family. What are they saying? What have they noticed about him now that he's back?
So I talked to Devon's family when he was released from his first period of incarceration back in 2015, and then I followed with him in 2016. And, you know, his family was afraid that he would come out and just wouldn't be able to cope in society. His mother was the first one to reach out to me. His aunt was kind of his... he's an adult, but she was kind of like his guardian. He lived with her for a time, and they were concerned.
And he's lost a couple of caretakers, people who are very close to him, are no longer with us, right?
Right. His aunt passed away in 2016, and he was living in her home, and you know, he had difficulties in that relationship. It's difficult to renew relationships when you haven't seen people in 3 years. So, you know, he did have a hard time, a hard family life adjustment when he got back in.
Now, you've told the story of Devon Davis, somebody you've been following for several years, but he is not alone. There are some 2,000 people in our prison system right now who have some kind of mental health issues. Is that right?
Correct. A lot of people in prison have mental health issues, and these are numbers that are reported by the Department of Public Safety. So they change over time, and you can check those. But
Well, in fact, you've had a hard time. Those are the latest figures you have, but they're not really up to date because you're having a hard time communicating with the or receiving answers from the Department of Public Safety.
Right. I got those numbers back in 2015 and 16, but most recently they would not give me numbers related to the number of people with mental illness being held in solitary confinement or in prison. But DPS will say, you know, X percentage of people probably have a mental illness in our prison system. That's something they'll go before the legislature and say fairly frequently.
Right. So the question now is whether or not there are any changes. Again, you haven't really gotten a complete answer from DPS on why, in this case anyway, the policy was not followed. So we really don't know to what extent the policy is being not followed or how many other people are in Devon's situation, right?
Right. So I did talk to some lawyers who are advocates for inmates in North Carolina, and they said that they continuously receive letters from inmates with mental illness who are being held in segregation longer than that 30-day period. So that this is ongoing, according to lawyers who are familiar with this.
And how is Devon Davis right now?
He got out on Saturday, so I haven't made contact with him since he got out, but it will be interesting to see. Last time he had a difficult time adjusting. He was homeless for a time. He really struggled to get a job. Struggled with relationships, struggled to stay on his mental health medication when he got out. So it's a hard adjustment coming back to society.
We will follow up and thank you for your reporting, Taylor.
Thank you.
Taylor Knopf is a reporter for the North Carolina Health News. You can find her two-part expose on Devon and in the News and Observer. Also, we're going to have it at our website, so you can see all of her reporting at our website, stateofthings.org. Coming up, Monet Noel Marshall, an artist who takes us through her experimental and experiential art and asks the question, how much is a body worth? We'll talk about that on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay with us.